production of Clue on Stage, High School Edition. This live performance has been pre-recorded, so please feel free to have your cell phone as loud as you want, unwrap your candy as you please, and eat and drink as you wish. No one will hear you ring, unwrap, munch, slurp, or scream. Because no one will hear you. So, without further ado, please sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
To death. There's so many better ways to die. Yvette, cook, is everything ready?
Oui, monsieur.
And you have your instructions.
You want the dogs fed before the guests arrive?
No, I want them hungry. Cook, dinner will be served at 7:30.
Sharp.
My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. I have been awfully rude. You have no idea why I'm here, do you? You see, it's the butler's job to make sure that everyone's comfortable, and from the looks on your faces, I'd venture to guess that you haven't gotten a clue. But don't worry, you're not alone. We're all in this together. Well, not him. At any rate, not to fear. If I've done my calculations correctly, the guests are on their way. Don't be alarmed. It's just the maid in the hall with the champagne cork. Time to meet our guest.
Scene 1. The Hall. Welcome to the Hall of Body Manor. Please appreciate the classic Gothic architecture with stone arches, stained glass windows, and also notice the tasteful decor of a beautiful vintage suit of armor, realistic taxidermy wildlife, and a variety of interesting paintings done by the master of the house himself. If you wish to move around, know the layout is simple. Here you see the front door. This is where the guests will arrive. To the left are three doors, and to the right are three more. As you look around, try not to trip on anything. Mr. Body likes to keep the lights low. Oh, here comes Wadworth, Yvette, and the cook. Try not to get in the way.
Right on time. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm not sure if I'm in the right.
Yes, indeed, sir. You are expected. Colonel, may I take your coat? It is Colonel Mustard, isn't it?
No, that's not my name. My name's Colonel...
Pardon me, sir, but tonight you may, well, feel obliged to my employer for the use of a pseudonym.
Oh, no, thank you. I took antihistamine before I came.
Yvette, will you attend to the Colonel, give him anything he requires? You come in, madam. You are expected.
Do you know who I am?
Only that you are to be known as Mrs. White.
Ironic, isn't it? The letter I received said that I should refer to myself by that name. But why?
May I introduce you? Mrs. White, this is the maid, Yvette.
Ugh.
I see you two know each other.
Don't be ridiculous. I've never seen this woman before in my life. Hello.
Hello.
Behold, the Lord said, I am bringing the flood of water upon earth to destroy all flesh.
Bonjour, madame.
Speaking of flesh.
Mrs. Peacock, I presume.
Book.
Cook?
Look, you two know each other.
Don't be ridiculous. I've never seen this man before in my life. Who are you?
Hold that thought.
The right address to meet Mr. Body?
You must be Mr. Green.
Yes.
Sit! No, not you, sir.
Oh, Excuse me, I'm rather clumsy at parties, I'm afraid.
Not to worry, sir.
Achoo! Oh, dear, is there a cat? I'm afraid I'm deathly allergic. Oh.
Give him some pseudonym, it clears it right up.
Greetings, all. It's a pleasure for you to see me.
Ah, Professor Plum, Miss Scarlet, welcome. I didn't realize you were acquainted.
Oh, we weren't. My car broke down and this professor gave me a ride.
Ooh, cocktail hour. I only drink on two occasions, day and night.
Good Lord, this really is a party. What is this godforsaken place anyway?
I'll thank you to keep him out of this.
This old place? Oh, this is Body Manor. Cook dinner.
Directly.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are all met. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Wordsworth, the butler. You may have realized that tonight nobody's being addressed by their real name. I suggest you refrain from revealing too much about yourselves this evening. Ah, dinner.
But I haven't even finished my champagne!
That was more like a cocktail minute.
We really oughtn't to keep her waiting. Cook can get cranky. Follow me, please. The dining room is right this way. Colonel Mustard, Mrs. White, Mrs. Peacock, Mr. Green, Miss Scarlet, Professor Plum. You will find your names by your places. Please be seated.
Well, what is this all about, Butler, this dinner party?
All in good time, madam. Excuse me, if you will.
Shucks fin soup.
My favorite.
Bon appetit.
Ah, I say we eat it while it's hot.
I like things hot.
But ain't soup supposed to be hot?
Thank you. Lord, for this meal we are about to receive, and this gracious host, whomever he is, that has invited us here tonight.
Maybe the host isn't here because the host is dead.
I'm feeling awfully anxious.
Well, I guess I'll break the ice. I mean, I'm used to being a hostess. It's part of my husband's work. Plus, I always host a ladies' group for my church on Sundays. It's difficult when a group of new friends meet for the first time. So I'll start the ball rolling. I mean, I have no idea what we're doing here, but I'm very intrigued. And oh my, this soup's delicious, isn't it?
Well, I think hosting parties is deathly boring.
Well, it's an interesting part of my life. As a wife of a... Oh, I forgot we're not supposed to say who we really are.
I know who you are.
How do you know who I am?
I work in Washington, too.
Oh, so you're a politician's wife.
Yes, I am.
So, who's your husband? Maybe I know him.
Mrs. White, what does your husband do?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Well, he just lies around on his back all day.
Sounds like hard work to me.
He lies around on his back all day because he's no longer alive.
So what do you do in Washington, D.C., Mr. Green?
I'd better not say. I like to follow the rules.
Oh, come on. How are we supposed to get acquainted if we don't say anything about ourselves? No judgment here. We are all God's children.
I don't believe in God.
Well, if I wasn't trying to keep the conversation going, we'd just be sitting here in an embarrassed silence.
Well, in my professional opinion, it seems like you have a fear of silence-itis.
Another politician.
Not exactly. I do research for the Office of Social and Behavioral Studies. In other words, I study crazy, and I'm good at it.
Sounds fascinating.
Why, thank you, Colonel. You are a real colonel, aren't you?
I am, sir.
Aren't you going to mention the coincidence that you also live in Washington, D.C.?
How you know that?
Oh, I've seen you before.
So, Miss Scarlet, does that mean you live in Washington, too?
I do everything in Washington, Mr. Green.
Does anyone here not live in Washington, D.C.?
Wadsworth, we had about enough of this. Where is our host and why have we been brought here?
Pardon me, please. Good evening, sir. You're eagerly awaited.
Thank you, Wadsworth. It's good to be home. Are the guests all here?
In the dining room, sir.
Right on schedule. I'll meet you in the study then, as planned.
May I take your bags?
No, Wadsworth. I'll keep them with me.
They contain more evidence, I assume.
Never assume, Wadsworth. It's much more fun to be surprised.
For God's sake, I demand to know what's going on.
Right. I believe you all received a letter, yes?
Yes.
I did.
I'm with you. Am I correct that each of your letters advised you be present this evening because a certain Mr. Buddy has offered to bring an end to a long-standing, confidential, and painful financial liability?
Yes.
That's what my letter says.
Mine, too.
Oh, yes.
Does that interest any of you in food, he said?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
May I suggest we adjourn to the study for coffee and brandy, at which point I believe your letters will be explained and the game will be afoot.
The game?
What game?
I love games.
What is he talking about?
Scene 3, The Study. As the guests enter the study, they see a small desk and chair to their right. In the center is a large fireplace, and to their left is a comfortable-looking sofa. Yvette stands by her bar cart, passing out brandies to Mustard, Plum, and Scarlet.
Thank you, Yvette. That will be all.
Well, where is our host?
He's not here! Nobody's here! What is happening?
Here's Mrs. Peacock. Have a drink.
My lips belong to the Lord.
Well, mine don't. Mind if I smoke?
For Wadsworth. Open after dinner. It's for you.
Achoo!
Tune tight.
Sorry, there must be a kid somewhere.
Right then. Are you all comfortable?
I make a good living.
Oh, out with it, Wadsworth.
Ladies and gentlemen, my instructions are clear. It seems the six of you all have one thing in common. You're all being black. All of you have been paying what you can afford, in some cases, more than you can afford, to someone who threatens to expose you.
Oh, please. I've never heard anything so ridiculous. I mean, nobody could blackmail me.
Yeah, lady, don't we all?
Anybody else wish to deny it? Until tonight, none of you knew who was blackmailing you. I hope I'm correct that the more deductive among you have reasoned in the last several moments. There is, of course, Mr. Body himself. Unless disconcerting members of our charade are experiencing that particular revelation right about.
It's Mr. Body.
Now.
Who is
I buried five husbands? You think I can't what handle a little blackmail?
Henchmen, you pompous British.
My task this evening is to expose your secrets to each other, rendering that you are coupling each other's indiscretions.
Don't you think you might spare us this humiliation?
I'm sorry, but I have my orders. We'll start with you, Professor Plum.
Lucky you.
Lucky got nothing to do with it.
You were once a professor of psychiatry, specializing in helping lunatics suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Yes, but now I work for the U.S. government.
So your work has not changed. But you can't practice medicine anymore, can you? The license has been lifted, correct?
Why? What do you do?
You know how mad doctors aren't allowed to date their lady patients?
Yeah.
Well, he did. Are you making more judgments, Mrs. Peacock? How then do you justify taking bribes in return for delivering Senator Peacock's votes to certain lobbyists?
My husband is a paid consultant. There's nothing sinful about that.
Not if publicly declared, perhaps. But isn't it a sin if certain lobbyists are slipping payments to Sneaky Santa's wife under the stall of the men's room at the old Ebbett Grill? How do you describe that transaction?
I'd say it stinks.
When were you in that men's room?
Aha! So it's true!
No! It's a vicious lie!
But you've been paying blackmail for over a year now to keep that story out of the papers.
Well, I'm willing to believe you. I, too, am being blackmailed for something that I didn't do.
Me, too.
And me.
Not me.
You're not being blackmailed.
I run a top secret agency for classified affairs.
Which branch?
Legislative. There are 535 members of Congress having classified affairs.
A man who needs to pay for a woman to spend time with him. That's a problem I'll never have.
Is that how you knew Colonel Mustard works in Washington, too? Is he one of your clients?
Certainly not.
I was asking Miss Scarlet.
Well, then you tell him.
It's not true.
Is that true?
No, it's not true.
Aha, so it is true.
A double negative.
Double negative? You mean photographs?
That sounds like a confession to me. In fact, the double negative has led to a proof positive. I'm afraid you gave yourself away.
Are you trying to make me look stupid in front of the other guests?
Don't need any help from me, sir.
That's right.
Colonel, you're the sensitive security post in the Pentagon. Those negatives will most certainly compromise your position.
This is an outrage.
Mrs. White, you've been paying our friend the blackmailer ever since your husband disappeared under, shall we say, mysterious circumstances.
I didn't kill him.
Then why are you paying the blackmail?
I don't want a scandal. We had a very humiliating public confrontation. He was deranged. He was a lunatic. He didn't actually seem to like me that much.
He had threatened to kill me in public.
Why would he want to kill you in public?
I think she meant he had threatened in public to kill her.
Oh. And was that his final word on the matter?
Being killed was pretty final, wouldn't you say?
And yet, he was the one who died. Not you, Mrs. White. Not you.
What did the poor chap do for a living?
He was a scientist. Nuclear physics.
What was he like?
He was a stupidly optimistic man. I'm afraid it came as a great shock to him when he died. He was found dead at home. He was unclothed. His head had been cut off, but it wasn't me. I'd been out all evening at the movies.
What was showing?
The Naked Alibi.
A likely story.
Do you miss him?
It's a matter of life after death. Now that he's dead, I have a life.
But he was your second husband. Your first also disappeared.
Yeah, that was his job. He was an illusionist.
But he never reappeared.
Well, he wasn't a very good illusionist. But my third husband, I'll miss him the most. He was an electrician. Well, until he got electrocuted.
And lastly, Mr. Green, who is a homosexual.
Not me.
Beg your pardon.
You asked who is a homosexual, and I said not me.
And I'm saying you're an idiot.
Wadsworth here is right. I am a homosexual. I feel no personal shame or guilt about this, but I must keep it a secret or I will lose my job on security grounds. Thank you. Achoo!
Stand tight.
Stand tight.
Stand tight. Well, then, all right, Wadsworth, you've spilled our beans. Now what?
Where's this Mr. Body?
And what does he want from us?
Who cares? I'm not waiting to find out. I've done nothing wrong. I'm leaving.
I'm sorry, madam. You can stay in denial, but you cannot leave this house.
I'm a wife of the great senator from Tennessee. You can't tell me what to do. Locked?
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 Indeed. Oh, the doors are locked, the windows are barred, and the grounds are patrolled by vicious dogs. There's no way out.
This is an outrage.
You can't hold
it. I can't be held hostage.
Locked. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce Mr. Bodgy. Your host for the evening and your blackmailer for life.
How do you do?
Ooh,
Mrs. White in the study with her knee.
Pardon me, everybody, but there's one more piece of information you may all like to have.
What?
The police are coming.
What? What are you talking about?
Why?
In less than an hour, the police will arrive. The bridge washed up from the rain, they are expecting to find one mastermind and the criminals he's detained.
That's us.
He's made it clear that there's evidence here and they have too much to gain.
Oh no.
Unless what? You agree to double down.
Double what?
You each pay me twice what you've been paying, and I'll tell the police it was a phony call and send them on their way. You refuse, and I put this briefcase, containing all the evidence needed to expose your wrongdoings, in the hands of the police and the press. I believe some of you would face a lifetime in jail, and others, a lifetime of shame.
That's why you brought us here?
You crook!
Get that briefcase.
Unless what? Well, there is something else you can do for me. One little favor that would change the game. Something I just can't bear to do myself.
What?
Have a seat, please.
What is this about, sir?
In this bag, there are 6 gifts I've brought you from Washington. Things I thought you might find useful this evening. Open them.
Why not? I enjoy getting presents from men. Candlestick. What's this for?
A wrench.
A lead pipe.
A dagger?
A revolver.
Oh, it's a snake! Nope, it's a rope.
In your hands, you each have a lethal weapon. You all showed up here tonight because you believed the evidence against you was so terrible that you would do almost anything to keep it a secret. I'm putting that theory to the test. Mr. Wadsworth here is the only other person who knows your secrets, and it's costing me, and you, dearly to keep him quiet. You see, I wouldn't have to double your payments if I didn't have to pay Mr. Wadsworth for his silence.
Mr. Wadsworth?
That's a lie.
He may look suave and charming.
Thank you.
But really, he's conniving and manipulative.
A false.
Why do you think he's called the police?
You called the police?
Only because he instructed me to do so.
Did I? Or did Mr. Wadsworth call the police here himself so that he can carry out his greedy threat, pay him more, or he reveals us and all of our questionably legal behavior to the police?
Never.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you can manage to somehow get rid of Wadsworth, I'll have no need to increase your blackmail or expose you to the police. As a matter of truth, if you can help me eliminate Wadsworth, who not only knows all of your secrets, but also mine, perhaps I can find it in my heart to eliminate your blackmail altogether and be done with this terrible business once and for all.
You were never.
But why us, Body? Why don't you do your dirty work yourself?
Why should I, when the 6 of you are so uniquely motivated?
This is how you repay me. Don't listen to him. He's a liar. I'm one of you. He's been blackmailing me along with the rest of you.
Oh yeah? What'd you do?
That is neither here nor there. The point is, I am not a butler. I'm an indentured servant.
Don't make a scene, Wadsworth. It's over. The police are on their way, ladies and gentlemen. Now's your chance. Kill Wadsworth and end your blackmail forever.
Ah!
breathing?
Stand back. He's dead.
Who had the gun?
I did.
So you shot him?
But I didn't.
Well, you had the gun, so if you didn't, who did?
Somebody grabbed it from my hand, and the next thing I knew, it went off.
There is no gunshot wound.
He's right, there isn't.
Look, there's a bullet lodged here.
But how did he die?
I don't know. Being unbearably handsome doesn't make me a forensic expert.
One of us must have killed him.
I didn't do it.
I need a drink.
Wait, maybe he was poisoned by the brandy.
It's all right, Mrs. Peacock. It's all right. It's all right. Calm down. What? I had to stop her screaming.
Was the brandy poison?
Looks like we'll never know.
Unless she dies too.
Scene 4. Our guests scramble into the main corridor and run to the billiard room.
It's locked! Who's in there? Who's screaming?
C'est moi!
Yvette?
Oui!
Yvette, are you alright?
No, I am alive! No thanks to you, Wadsworth, you idiot! You've locked us up in this house with a murderer!
So the murderer's here?
Oui.
Where?
Where? Here! We're all looking at him. Or her.
What took you so long?
I'm an old woman in an aggravated state of shock.
I heard you in this study. One of you is the killer.
How could you hear us in this study?
I was listening. I have a tape recorder in the billiard room. Monsieur Body asked me to tape record your conversation.
Why would he ask you to tape record our conversation?
For more evidence, of course. When Wadsworth revealed your secrets in this study, they were all recorded.
What a snake! I've got to destroy them. Where are the tapes?
The tapes? What about the body?
What body?
Body!
Body's body! Body! But Yvette, why were you screaming in there all by yourself?
Because I was frightened. I also drank the cognac. Maybe I am poisoned too, mon Dieu. I can't stay in there alone.
Don't worry, I'll protect you. Very strong.
But one of you is a killer. Monsieur Body is dead.
And we have to figure out which one of them did it.
What do you mean, which one of them?
But I didn't do it.
Well, one of us did. We all had the opportunity and the motive. Mr. Body was a bully and a liar to us all. I would have killed him myself, but I didn't have access to a weapon. Only the six of you had the means to do it.
Don't look at me. All I got was a candlestick.
But maybe it wasn't one of us.
Who else could it have been?
Who else is in the house?
Only the cook.
The Scene 5, the kitchen. Wadsworth, Yvette, and the guests enter. Green looks around, noticing something.
The cook's not here.
Then the freezer door starts to open. He draws closer to get a better look when the cook's body tumbles out onto a quite unsuspecting Green who can barely stand under her weight.
Oh my god, the cook! There's a dagger in her back!
I didn't do it! You said you were explained!
I think you better explain yourself, Wandsworth.
Me? Why me?
Who else want to kill the cook?
Dinner wasn't that bad. What? It's my defense mechanism.
Some defense. If I were to kill, I'd kill you next. I said if. If, that's all. There's only one admitted killer here, and it ain't me. It's Mrs. White.
I've admitted nothing.
You paid the blackmail. How many husbands have you had?
Mine or other women's?
yours?
Give me a sec. 5.
5?
Yes, just 5. Husbands should be like Kleenex. Soft, strong, and disposable.
Well, if it ain't you, who had the dagger?
It was Mrs. Peacock.
Yes, but I put it down.
Where?
In the study.
When?
I don't know. Before he slapped me, I was assaulted. Oh, who knows? Any of us could have picked it up. Must have been Mr. Green.
What is Mr. Green?
Can somebody help me, please?
Oh, here. Get him up. Gentlemen, might I suggest we take the cook's body into the study?
Why?
Well, for starters, when the police arrive, if they find this, we'll all be in custody and under suspicion for murder.
Murder?
Secondly, I'm the butler. I like to keep the kitchen tidy.
Scene 6. The study. The guests enter, talking loudly among themselves about the events of the evening and how to correctly carry a dead body. They cross to the center of the room and then stop, silent. They slowly look back to the spot where body was.
The body's gone. There's no body.
No body? No body?
Maybe he wasn't dead.
He was.
Well, where is he?
He couldn't have been dead.
I thought he was.
Maybe there is a life after death.
Life after death is as improbable as fun after marriage.
Well, if you excuse me, after... Is there a little girl's room?
Oui, madame.
No, I just want to powder my nose.
There's a toilet in the billiard room.
I don't mean to alarm anybody, but we do currently have the small issue of 2 dead bodies, 1 missing and 1 present, and the intimate arrival of the police, who, by my calculations, ought to be here in 37 minutes.
Wadsworth, am I right in thinking that there's nobody else in the house?
No.
Then there's somebody else in the house?
No, sorry. I meant no meaning yes.
No meaning yes? Look, I want a straight answer. Is there somebody else in the house, yes or no?
No.
No, there is or no, there isn't?
Yes.
There seems to be some confusion about whether or not we're the only people in the house.
There isn't.
You mean there isn't any confusion or there isn't anybody else?
Either. Or both.
Just give me a clear answer.
Certainly. What was the question?
Is there anybody else in the house?
No!
That's what he says. But does he know? Look, we got a killer, a missing dead body on the loose, 1 dead cook, and all these weapons. The rope, the dagger, the revolver, the candlestick, the wrench, and... Hey, where's the lead pipe?
Peacock comes stumbling into the room, body hanging all over her. It looks like Body is attacking her.
It's Mr. Body!
Ah! He's attacking her!
No, he's not. He's dead.
Somebody dead again.
Somebody catch her.
I'll catch you. Fall into my arms. Sorry.
Where did this happen, Mrs. Peacock?
In the bathroom. I opened the door, and there he was. I thought he was dead. He was attacking me. He lunged.
Dead people don't lunge.
Well, he's certainly dead now. Who'd want to kill him twice?
It's what we call overkill.
And why?
What's the difference?
Makes a difference to him.
Makes a difference to us. We've got to find out who killed him, where, and with what.
Seems like it was probably the lead pipe.
10 points, Professor Plum.
What kind of game you playing, Wadsworth?
This isn't a game!
You! The lead pipe belongs to you.
But I dropped it while we were running to the kitchen.
So, anyone could have picked it up.
There's no need to shout.
I am not shouting. All right, I am. I'm shouting.
Hey! While you clowns lose your marbles, I'm over here trying to do something useful. Have you all forgotten about the evidence against us?
The evidence!
Body's briefcase is locked.
There must be a key.
A key? Mr. Green, would you be so kind as to check Mr. Body's pockets for the key to the briefcase, which contains the evidence of our past transgressions, so that we may destroy the said evidence forever and free ourselves from any chance of future blackmail?
Oh, but he's so bloody.
I'll do it. See, it's not here.
It's not? I see. Hand me the wrench. It's empty.
Empty?
Then where's all the evidence?
Ha! I told you. Body was a liar. And the evidence in his briefcase, my foot.
Well, then where is it? What does he have on us? I can't stand all of this uncertainty.
I can assure you that Mr. Body possesses... possessed individual files containing devastating, incriminating evidence against each of us, kept in one large, beastly blackmail envelope marked confidential. But where that envelope is now, and precisely what it contains, I could not say. All I know is that if that is found, we are all gonna.
We must find that evidence and destroy it.
Then we can put all this behind us and move forward with our miserable lives.
Evidence aside, first things first, we're in a room with two dead bodies and six murderous weapons, and the cops are on the way.
Not to mention there's a homicidal maniac about. Let's put the weapons back in Body's bag and bring it to the broom closet.
Wadsworth puts the weapons back in Body's bag. Wadsworth, Yvette, and the guests exit from the door in the foyer and move into the corridor. Once in the corridor, they head towards the broom closet. Yvette opens the door and Wadsworth throws in the bag. He locks the door.
There.
Wait, what are you going to do with the keys to the closet, Wadsworth?
I'll put it in my pocket.
But what if you're the murderer?
I'm not.
But what if you are?
I have an idea. We'll throw it away.
Good idea.
Excellent.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disturb the whole household, but my car broke down out here and I was wondering if I could use your phone?
Right, just a moment, please. Very well, sir.
Thank you. Where is it?
What, the body?
The phone, what body?
What? There's no body. There's no body. There's no body in the study.
No!
Not at all!
But I think there is a phone in the lounge.
Thank you.
Right through this door. When you've made your call, perhaps you'd be good enough to wait in there.
Certainly.
Now, listen. The police are on their way. I estimate another 29 minutes or so. That gives us plenty of time.
To do what? Get killed?
It's true. We must identify the murderer. But my immediate concern is recovering that evidence.
But how?
I suggest we handle this in proper military fashion. We split up and search the house.
Split up?
Yes.
But one of us might run into the murderer.
Mon Dieu!
Then one of us will have discovered who the murderer is.
But then one of us will be dead.
This is war, Peacock. Casualties are inevitable. You cannot make an omelet without breaking eggs. Any cook will tell you that.
But look what happened to the cook!
Colonel, are you willing to take that chance?
What choice do we have?
I suppose you're right. Oh, achoo!
Gesundheit.
Oh, I swear to God, there's a cat in this house.
All right, troops, divide and conquer.
And remember, no funny business. We must work as a team. Oh, what am I saying? It's not like any of you would come upon the missing envelope and purposely hide it so that you could clear yourself of blame and then blackmail the rest of us to secure yourself an unseemly but substantial fortune.
No.
Never.
No.
Good. Now you know when you found the dirt, when you find an envelope marked confidential.
That's essential.
And consequential.
All right, let's meet back here in 10 minutes.
But what if someone doesn't come back?
And we'll remember you fondly.
Scene 8, the hall.
Six suspects, two murders, an envelope of damning evidence hidden somewhere in this house. With police due in 25 minutes, we can't take any chances. My deepest apologies, ladies and gentlemen. Ushers, lock the doors. Now, we're all in this together.
The guests begin to search the house. The situation remains tense, stakes high. There's a strange sense that this montage has been hijacked by the ghost of Jerome Robbins. Over the course of this door-opening, staircase-climbing, search-every-room number, the confidential envelope is found and lost again repeatedly. Lights, find. Peacock, who enters nervously, hoping not to run into the killer, and attempting to hide herself behind a small potted plant, she crosses the stage. Lights, find. Mr. Green. He holds up a feather from Peacock's hat. He puts the feather in his coat pocket. Lights, find. Wadsworth, who holds up the confidential envelope. He sighs with relief. Wadsworth moves to exit. White runs into him, waving Green's disgusting hanky in the air. She notices the envelope and grabs it. Wadsworth chases after her. Just then, Mustard comes running across the stage wearing White's veil. Unable to see properly, he struggles to search the house, bumping into things, including White, who has now re-entered holding the envelope. A cat crosses the stage, and Green chases it. Plum, now waving Mustard's medallion, sneaks behind White, taps her on the shoulder, and grabs the envelope. He runs off stage with White in hot pursuit. Mustard crosses once more, still blinded by the veil, and now runs into Scarlet, who has entered wearing Plum's beret. Plum re-enters with the envelope. He notices Scarlet wearing his beret and goes to her. She distracts him by trying to kiss him and snatches the envelope when his eyes are closed. Peacock enters, hiding behind an even bigger potted plant, now with Scarlet's cigarette holder in her mouth. She exits. Scarlet re-enters with the envelope and pauses by the suit of armor. Suddenly, the suit of armor comes to life. It's Mustard. He grabs the envelope and moves to quickly exit. The cat crosses the stage again with Green in hot pursuit. Peacock enters and takes out the envelope marked confidential. She looks at it and smiles. She puts it back in the plant and exits. Green re-enters, now in hot pursuit of Peacock. The guests enter for one last chase sequence, ending with their hands in the air, revealing that Green holds Peacock's feather. Peacock holds Scarlet's cigarette holder. Scarlet holds Plum's beret. Plum holds Mustard's medallion. Mustard holds White's veil. White holds Green's hanky. Wadsworth holds the toilet plunger. And no one has the envelope. A dark figure enters from the left and goes to the broom closet. The dark figure unlocks the broom closet, takes out Body's bag, retrieving the wrench. The dark figure puts the bag back in the closet and exits.
I'm a little nervous. I'm in this big house, and I've been locked in the lounge. And the funny thing is, there's a whole group of people here having some sort of party, and one of them is my old boss from...
Scene 9, the conservatory.
Where is it?
Where's what?
The evidence you just snatched out of my hand, you idiot!
I don't know what you're talking about.
Either give it up, or I'll have you singing soprano!
Alright, I snatched it. But somebody snatched it from me.
Who?
Don't look at me.
I'm not looking at you.
Yes, you are. You look at me right now.
Hey, look, scarlet flowers. My favorite. They smell divine. You know, if you rub the petals to your neck, the smell is irresistible to men. Oh my gods and garters.
Oh, come on, it's just a little flower. You don't need to get emotional.
No flower, Colonel Smarty Pants. A secret passage. Come on.
Ladies first, Miss Scarlet.
How heroic.
Scene 10, the lounge.
What are we?
How should I know? The lights are off.
Well, turn them on.
I would if I could see anything.
Oh, here. Maybe this will help.
The lounge. Of course we forgot to look in the lounge.
Quite an oversight considering the dead motorist in the chair.
Dead motorist?
Dead motorist?
Help! Help! Murder! Murder!
Murder!
Let us in!
Let us in!
Let us out!
Can't let you out. The door is locked.
You have the key, Wadsworth. You locked the motors in here.
Right, I did. I do. I don't. The key is gone.
Gone?
There's a murderer on the loose. Please get us out of here.
There's no alternative. I'm just going to have to break down the door.
I have an idea. Everyone, stand back.
I knew it.
Help! Murder, help!
I think they're shooting at us.
You don't say, Sherlock.
Come out. The door is open. I'm done shooting.
Why were you shooting at us?
To open the door.
But you could have killed us. I could have been killed. This ain't a battlefield.
Well, la dee da. You're really something, huh, Frenchie? Wait. Where did you get that gun?
The broom closet. It was unlocked.
Unlocked?
Unlocked?
Oh, I have the key. No, I have it. It's gone.
Gone?
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 I thought you said you'd thrown away the key to the broom closet, Wadsworth.
I did say that. But we didn't do that. We got distracted by the motorist at the door, and I forgot. One of you must have snatched the keys from my pocket when we were searching the house.
Whoever took the keys is the killer.
Precisely.
I am so smart. Sometimes I impress myself.
Speaking of the killer, there's a dead body in the lounge, you know.
Again?
The motorist is dead.
It's true. Now there are three unsolved murders.
Three?
Three? No. Which one of you killed him?
We found him together.
The door was locked.
Great trick, getting through a locked door. My husband would appreciate that one.
We went through a secret passage from the conservatory to the lounge.
Who designed this place?
The brothers.
Maybe they'll go away.
I'm going to open the door. It's the decent thing to do.
Excuse me, Mr. Plum. Could you please give me your hat? Thank you.
It's the police. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. We've been expecting you.
You have?
We haven't.
I was just passing through and found an abandoned car near the gates of this house. Did a motorist come for help, by any chance?
Oh, well.
No.
No!
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 Yes, actually.
No!
There seems to be some disagreement.
No!
Can I come in and use the phone?
Of course you may, sir. There's a phone in the lounge.
Oh, out of order.
Of course. My mistake. You can use the phone in the study.
Sorry. Occupied.
You may use the phone in the library. Right this way.
You're all acting rather peculiar. What's going on in the lounge in the study?
Lounging, studying, this way.
Let me have a look.
No, thank you.
What?
This way, please.
Actually, I'd like to take a look around if you don't mind.
Of course, officer. Follow me, I'll take you on the grand tour of the body manor.
Can't get rid of the body, so we've got to make them seem alive.
Ooh. Yeah, good idea.
Good idea.
They break into two groups. White, Peacock, Mustard, and Yvette head to the study with Body and Cook's bodies. Plum, Scarlet, and Green head to the lounge with the motorist's body.
Notice the mahogany floor. Did you know that in the 17th century, the buccaneer John Esquilin recorded the use of mahogany for making canoes? Can you canoe?
What? Where'd everybody go?
Who? Notice the brass doorknob. Crafted specifically for Lord Body by his buddy in 1878. And...
I don't care about the doorknobs, mister. What's going on around here? What are you hiding in those two rooms?
Which two rooms?
The lounge and the study.
Oh, those two rooms.
Yes.
Officer, I don't think you should go in there.
Why not?
Because it's all too shocking.
Hello, officer. Welcome to the party.
Oh, it's not all that shocking. These folks are just having a good time. It's a free country. Why didn't you tell me this was a party?
My apologies, sir.
Excuse me?
Evening, officer. How do you do?
Are these men drunk?
Dead drunk.
You want a sip?
Oh, I can't drink while on the job. The chief would kill me.
Kill if you do, kill if you don't.
What?
Have a lovely evening, officer.
Same to you. Well, I don't know what you were so worried about. There's nothing illegal about any of this. Just make sure you don't let those fellas drive home drunk. Call them a car.
Oh, black car.
Terrific. May I use your phone now?
Certainly. The library, officer.
Thank you.
All is clear. You can come out now. Well done, all of you. Impressive. The criminal mind is an incredible beast.
You really pulled that out
with the champagne.
Nice trick.
All right. Now let's finish searching the manor. The police will be here in 17 minutes.
But the police already came.
Not the broken down car police, the criminal investigation police. We must find the evidence, and we can't afford to have any more murders.
Wadsworth, Yvette, and the guests exit. Lights shift as we see the dark figure sneak on and go to a panel on the wall. The dark figure opens the panel and pulls a lever. Suddenly, the lights go out.
Hello? Hello? Is this phone working?
Hello? Hello?
It's me.
Oh! You scared me! I thought you were the killer.
You thought right!
Did somebody cut the line? Hello? Oh, good. You can hear me. There's something funny going on around here. The lights just went out and, you see, I found this abandoned car. You know that big mansion on top?
Scene 11, the hall.
There we are.
Back on.
Life.
Oh, must have been a short wire.
Oh, thank God.
And the Lord said, let there be light.
Yes, but did the Lord happen to mention why the lights were shut off to begin with?
Oh, who cares? We're still in the dark anyway. We're no closer to solving our murder mystery than unearthing the evidence against us.
Shh. Do you hear that?
It sounds like a telephone is off the hook.
It's coming from the library. library!
That's where the killer must be!
Pardon me. I'm going in.
What are you afraid of?
A fate worse than death?
No, just death. Excuse me. Mr. Cop, are you all right? Did you need assistance? A phone book, perhaps?
Hey, the butler asked you a question. Copper, hang up the telephone already, or I will...
His hat's off! His hat's off! His hat's off!
Oh my god!
We should be safe here, in the billiard room.
I'm gonna open the drapes. Maybe we can escape through a window.
The doorbell rings for one last unexpected guest of the evening.
I am your singing telegram!
Scene 12, the conclusion.
3 murders in 3 minutes. That's our best record.
This is getting serious. 6 suspects, 6 murders. Mr. Body in the billiard room, the cook in the kitchen, the motorist in the lounge, the cop in the library, Yvette in the ballroom, and the singing telegram girl in the hall. Not to mention one confidential envelope of missing, damning evidence. Our evening's guests may be gifted at breaking the law, but they clearly need to work on breaking a case. So, who is the killer, you may ask? I'm sure you have your suspicions, but we have no time to discuss that now. The police are nearly here. Very well. In order to figure out who the murderer is, I believe the best course of action is to start at the beginning. Sometimes the most obvious answer
Achoo!
Is right under our noses.
I thought the cat was dead.
Yes, thank you, Colonel. So nice of you to join us. I shall take you through the events of this evening, step by step. Now, try to stay with me. At the start of the evening, Yvette was here, waiting to offer you all a glass of champagne. The doorbell rang. It was you. I recognized you as Colonel Mustard. Yvette gave you a drink. Doorbell. Miss White. Hell, tragic. I introduced you to Yvette. They both flinched. A rumble of lightning. Thunder. A crash of lightning. Peacock. Green. Starlet. Plum. Then the cook banged the gong. And we all adjourned to the dining room. You found your names besides your places. Shouted Queen Soup. My favorite. And you had a letter. 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 And you had a letter.
Get on with it.
Get on with it.
And we all went to the study. Mr. Body gave you gifts and you all opened them. Then Mr. Body switched off the lights.
Good
Is
God!
Is he dead?
Oh my God!
Mr. Body laid on the floor, apparently dead, but he wasn't really dead. He was really alive. But we didn't know. Next, Mrs. Peacock drank his drink. Mrs. Green suggested that the drink might be poisoned. I had to stop her screaming. Suddenly, we heard more screaming from Yvette. We ran to the billiard room. You robbed me with Samantha, you idiot! But one of us wasn't there.
Who?
Oh.
Mrs. Peacock!
I was there with the rest of you!
When we heard Yvette scream, we all ran from the study, but you lagged behind. I'm in an aggravated state of shock. It was a perfect time to commit murder.
Be my guest.
It was Mrs. Peacock in the kitchen with a dagger.
God forbid.
I found your feather in the freezer, Mrs. Peacock. And it was your dagger that stabbed the cook in the back.
Poor woman. I thought you liked her soup.
It was my favorite.
Then we ran to the kitchen. Mr. Green, you were under the cook's corpse for approximately 2 minutes and 57 seconds. While the rest of us never even realized you were gone. I suggested we bring the cook back to the study. But Mr. Body's body was gone. Then Miss Peacock stumbled into the room. With Body on her body because Body had been blundered by a bathroom in his bean with the lead pipe.
By
whom? It was Mr. Green in the billiard room with the lead pipe.
Preposterous!
I found your disgusting hanky.
just outside the bathroom door in the billiard room, right where Mrs. Peacock was attacked by Mr. Body the second time he died. And it was your lead pipe found in his skull. Couldn't stand the thought of Body getting away, huh? So you bashed his brains out.
Don't be ridiculous. I can't stand the sight of blood. It wasn't me.
That's when we decided to destroy the evidence in Body's briefcase.
But the briefcase was empty.
Correct. The evidence Body had been holding against us was gone.
That's when we locked away the murder weapons and ran to the front door to throw away the key. To the hall!
We opened the door and discovered the motorist.
Who was killed in the lounge?
But who killed him? That door was locked.
It was Colonel Mustard in the lounge with a wrench.
Never lounge.
You stole the key to the broom closet, grabbed the wrench, and did the deed.
I did not. I don't even know the man.
Really? To Colonel Mustard, your driver for life, Mike the Motorist.
Give me that.
Plus, I found you lurking conspicuously in the conservatory. The scarlet flowers open the secret passage to the lounge, but if I remember correctly, scarlet flowers always have 5 petals. This one only had 4, meaning you had already plucked a petal to the passage to the lounge where you pummeled the motorist to death with the wrench.
Never underestimate what you can do with a wrench, Mustard.
I know. How do you think I fixed the sink?
Then the doorbell rang. Oh, man. And the cop arrived.
That cop who got killed in the library.
It was Mrs. Scarlet in the library with the candlestick.
I didn't do it.
Then how'd the cop wind up decapitated? Why'd I find your cigarette holder in the stack of books in the library?
Oh, give me a break. You found my cigarette holder before the cop even arrived.
Aha. So you admit you were in the library. What were you doing, huh? Plotting murder?
How could I plot a murder of a cop I didn't even know was coming?
I rest my case.
I didn't kill him, but I do know who killed the singing telegram girl.
You do?
I do. It was Professor Plum in the hall with the revolver.
How could I? Yvette had the gun when she shot the lounge door.
But when the cop arrived, she passed it to you when we ran into the front door, hiding it in that stupid French hat of yours. I found it when we were searching the house.
It proves nothing.
Well, maybe we should slow things down.
Mr. Plum, can you please give me your beret so that I can pass you the gun?
Then you shot the singing telegram girl before she could finish her rambles. Wonder what kind of dirt she had on you. That she was an old patient of yours or something, right?
I never saw that girl before in my life. This is ridiculous. It wasn't me.
I know. It's Mr. White with the rope in the billiard room.
I'd rather die.
I saw how you cringed when you came in tonight and noticed your vet. You mentioned your third husband was an electrician. Stands to reason. You know your way around an electrical panel. So it was you who switched off the lightning string of your vet with the rope.
I did not. I mean, yes, I'll admit, I recognized your vet. She had a terrid love affair with my late husband. I hated her. Hated her so much. It was the flames on the side of my face. Really. Heavy
Mrs. White?
But I didn't kill her!
So, insomination.
Thank God.
It was Mrs. Peacock in the kitchen with the dagger. Colonel Mustard in the lounge with the wrench. Mrs. Scarlet in the library with the candlestick. Professor Plum in the hall with the revolver. Mrs. White in the ballroom with the rope, and Mr. Green in the billiard room with the lead pipe.
Wait a minute. There's still one thing I don't understand.
One thing.
Now two.
Freeze! Nobody move!
But how did you...
Wadsworth?
You can call me Wadsworth if you want to.
That's your name, isn't it?
You thought, all thought, it was Buddy who was killed this evening, but that's impossible.
But he bled all over me.
But it wasn't Buddy who was bleeding.
Then who was he?
He was Wadsworth, my butler.
Oh, you're Mr. Buddy?
Oh.
I want to thank you all for killing off my network of spies and informers, which you all did so splendidly, by the way. And so, of course, the added bonus of our evening together is that now I have each of you on the hook for murder.
Murder?
Murder? Murder?
But the police will be here any minute. You'll never get away with this.
Why should the police come?
Oh my god.
Of course.
What?
Nobody's called them. They were never on their way.
Oh. No.
Here's what we're going to do, kids. We're going to stack the bodies in the cellar. We're going to lock the cellar door. And then we're going to leave quietly, one at a time, and forget that any of this ever happened.
I can't forget all this.
Oh, I almost forgot the best part. Now with murder on the menu, the price of blackmail has just tripled. Now move!
Wait a minute! We can all rush him. He's got no more bullets left in that gun.
Oh, come on. You don't think I'm gonna fall for that old trick?
Not a trick. There was one shot at Mr. Body in the study, two for the cat, two at the lamp door, and one for the singing telegram.
That's not six.
1 + 2 + 2 + 1.
There was only one shot that got the cat. That's 1 + 2 + 1 + 1.
Even if you were right, that would be 1 + 1 + 2 + 1 + 1 + 2 + 1 + 1.
Okay, fine. 1 + 2. Shut up! The point is, there's one bullet left in this gun. Anybody who's gonna move is gonna get it.
So, you're going to keep blackmailing us and we'll pretend this never happened. That's the plan?
Of course. Why not?
I'll tell you why not. Larry Goodman, FBI!
Mr. Green? FBI? That sniveling stooge. Did you see that coming? Neither did I. Ushers, quick, unlock the...
Quit talking to the audience, Wadsworth. Or should I call you Mr. Body? The jig is up.
You're really FBI?
That's right. The real Mr. Green got a letter, just like each of you. He came to the Bureau to ask for help. I'm an agent out of the Hartford office. He's apparently a dead ringer for Green. I took his place tonight so we could have a sting operation.
Some sting? 6 people died on your watch. Not to mention that poor cat.
They had to use me because the real Mr. Body here knew what Green actually looked like. I usually work the Hartford desk on property crime. You know, theft, fraud, and the like. I become a bit of an expert on the art of picking. That's how this large envelope marked confidential ended up with me tonight and not any of you.
You have the evidence?
It's all here. We had our suspicions of what we might find here, but I never imagined it would be this rich.
Give that to me.
Let's all take a look, shall we? Here's Miss Scarlet's accounting book for her classified affairs. Service giving plenty of motivation as to why she killed the cop. Was listed right here on her payroll.
Give me that!
Then we have this love letter addressed to Professor Plum.
That's private property.
Seems that singing telegram girl was the daughter of the head of the U.S. Department of Social and Behavioral Sciences. Looks like she was just about to come clean to Daddy, who most certainly would have cleaned out Professor Plum. Guess that's why you killed her. And these negatives. My, oh my.
I just want somebody to talk to.
Talk? Huh? That's a democratic way to put it.
I'm a Republican.
And poor Mrs. Peacock. Here's your Bible. Made it pretty easy to stash your cash for bribery, no? Too bad your old cook couldn't keep her mouth shut, huh? If only she hadn't told Body her secrets. Maybe she would still be alive today.
God forgives all!
Looks like you've had quite a bit of classified affairs yourself. Guess you wouldn't have gotten to keep your important military title if your old driver, that unfortunate motorist who stopped by the house tonight, informed your major general where he drove you every Tuesday night. And Mrs. White, you weren't lying, were you? You really did hate Yvette.
So much! Flames! Flames on the side of my...
Here's a container holding your fingerprints collected at this crime scene of your previous murders.
I never murdered my husband.
Fingerprints that I'm sure the FBI will be able to match the noose tied around Yvette's neck.
I wore gloves!
You mean these?
Damn!
And last, but certainly not least, Mr. Bobby Body.
It's Robert.
I hold in my hand an FBI file on the whole Big Body family. Your butler Wadsworth had been feeding us information for months. I can see why you killed him. Your shot missed him in the study, but he wisely played dead. Awfully good actor. Had us all convinced. But while we were all racing from the kitchen with the dead cook, you found your sneaky butler trying to make his escape by the bathroom and bludgeoned him to death with a lead pipe I dropped on the hallway floor while running to the kitchen.
That was convenient.
And you left him dead in the bathroom, propped up against the door for poor Mrs. Peacock to encounter moments later.
You swine!
The Body family's been wanted for organized crime, blackmail, and murder for generations. Now they've always eluded the law. Until tonight, the Body family business is dead.
I'm mad! You leave my family out of this! I'm slain. I'm dust. I am food for the worms. Not dead. Close. Almost there. Yes. Probably about 32 more seconds. Ah, here we go. I'm gone.
He's dead?
Not yet. Now.
I tell ya. This was the most exciting night I've had in a long time. And now, you're all under arrest. Boys! Here are the criminals you've been looking for. And here's all the evidence against them. Oh, and there are some tapes in the billiard room you might find useful as well.
All the tapes!
All right, who done it?
It was him.
It was her.
But, if you want to know who killed Mr. Body, I did. In the hall. With the revolver. Okay, Chief. Take him away. I'm gonna go home and sleep with my wife.
This production by Kids Connection Shoreline Theater Company was directed by Laura Atanasio, with assistant direction and editing by Marissa Bohuniak. Tonight's vocal talents include Sierra Preveza as Wadsworth, Ethan Ayala as Colonel Mustard, Morgan Cheslock as Mrs. White, Avery Hagen as Mrs. Peacock, Devin Wilkie as Mr. Green, Sydney Liggett as Miss Scarlet, Cameron Becker as Mr. Plum, Marissa Bohuniak as Yvette, Taden Baker as the cook and the cop, and John Isaac as Mr. Body, the motorist, and the singing telegram girl. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the show.